Well, here we go. 6:08. It's Friday. It's November 22nd. Date your checks to the show accordingly, and it's show number 1492. And hi, Bridget Gaynor will be on later. My friend Jake Johansson, one of the funniest guys in America. No, the planet. No, the universe. He will be in later on his well and hang out. Dean's on for, what are we getting Dean for, one segment today because of all that fancy falderall they're doing over at TV today?
I didn't hear anything about a schedule change.
Oh, so he'll be on for both action-packed segments after 8 o'clock. Amazon's Black Friday stuff starts today. Are the robots coming in? Oh, we're not going to get robots, but we get a description of a hotel with full functioning robots in town as well. But let's get it kicked off right now with the top six and six.
Now for some more news. Ready?
Welcome to the top six and six.
What?
On the Steve Cochran Show.
That is great radio.
This is your first look at what people, animals, and assorted fruits and vegetables will be talking about today.
Item number one, the 106 Christmas tree lighting ceremony for the city of Chicago takes place today at 6 o'clock in Millennium Park. Tree was donated by Gene Nelson and his family. The 55-foot blue spruce from Elgin was selected for more than 40 tree submissions received by the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. There'll be music. There'll be Mayor Lori Lightfoot. There'll be Santa Claus. And as always, more will show up, is what you see in press releases all the time. And there'll be more. That means they don't really know what the more is from the time they write this. But there will be more. More is scheduled to appear.
They're trying to book more.
The problem, of course, with the tree lighting ceremony in the city, it's just like everybody else. You got some people who work for the city who are going, where the hell do we put the lights? Are they in a box somewhere? Then you got to go downstairs. You got to get the boxes out. And the real thing, they take about a 55-foot tree. You know how long it takes to untangle the lights from last year? Forever. Forever, G.
You need to invest in the blanket lights, the ones that are already just, you don't have to untangle them. Mm. You just throw them up there. It's like a net of lights.
I always felt it looked like a net. No? You don't see that?
You gotta, you know, tuck it in the limbs.
It's true about life, too, isn't it? Next! Lawsuit brought by 17 workers at Chicago area McDonald's restaurants alleges the fast food giant failed to protect them from violent incidents that took place daily at work. What? I don't understand how that's possible. The suit filed yesterday in state court in Cook County accuses Chicago-based McDonald's of negligence for making decisions that compromise worker safety, including requiring employees to work overnight hours in recent store redesigns that have reduced barriers between employees and customers. So daily at McDonald's in the city, people were getting roughed up? Is that what I'm saying? That appears to be what I'm saying. I don't know. I did tell you at one point... Several years ago now, but I was in line for the drive-thru to pick up my morning Diet Coke at the Rock and Roll McDonald's. And in the car in front of me, some gangbangers got into a fist fight in the car. Inside the car they were in with each other. One guy got out, went to the back, opened a trunk, took out a shotgun. I then tried to casually back out of the drive-thru lane, which had concrete barriers on either side. It's all bad. But this is all bad. This is all bad. If this is true, it should be a lawsuit. I don't get it.
Apparently, the suit points to high rates of 911 calls from Chicago McDonald's restaurants with more than 20 calls a day.
That's amazing. Next! Chicago Police Board officially began its nationwide search for the city's next top cop. Superintendent Eddie Johnson, of course, stepped aside. We need a new police superintendent. If that's you, please get your resume in immediately. Next, Dave told you the White Sox signed catcher Yasmani Grandal to a four-year, $73 million deal. Most money the White Sox have ever paid for a player. Do you like this deal, Dave?
Yeah, I don't see anything you wouldn't like about this deal. I mean, I think you're getting an all-star catcher who Yeah, I think will be another addition. I mean, it gives you really a nice punch as far as your catchers go with James McCann. And you got the former first-rounder Zach Collins coming up. And here's a veteran steady hand.
We're catcher deep
the
now.
Plate. And he's got power, too. Is another bat in this lineup.
Super know? Joe, you're the White Sox guy. You like this?
I'm good. Pumped, yep.
Are you and Dave agree
my hit with Steve?
For sure.
Is it worth $73 million?
Somebody turn your microphone off.
Is it worth $73 million? Yeah. Well, that's just the market now. I mean,
that's
to go
amazing.
Out and sign a top free agent, you're going to have to pay, and I think everybody's kind of.
If you had paid more attention to baseball as a kid in North Carolina, you could be making $72 million.
Yes,
right
you
now.
Could.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Next. ABC has renewed its full summer game show slate. So if you're wondering what's going to be exciting next summer, the Pyramid Match Game and Family Feud are all coming back. Aren't you excited?
Thank
you
goodness.
Know you are.
I love Pyramid.
And next, Jeff Bezos, Day One Fund. Again, just because you have it doesn't mean you have to give it away. On the day that Amazon's Black Friday deals are being released, and Bezos is going to make a whole bunch more money, he's giving $100 million away. To 32 groups specifically helping the homeless. That's not all the charitable work that Bezos does, but that's some of it. That's $100 million. And it's not going to cure homelessness, but it sure could make a dent. And that's your top six.
That's it.
That's all today for the top six at six.
No more.
Lou Manfredini and Lou's first call coming up. What's troubling you? How's your house? 312-981-7200, first caller always wins. Not just by asking Lou a question. We'll throw some prizes at you as well.
Hello.
It's time to learn it all. You're on Lou's First Call.
Hello.
Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
Good morning, Lou.
Hi, sir.
How are you today?
I'm well.
Well, that's great. I have a problem I'd like to ask you about right away.
Tell me.
The water pressure in the double vanity in the master bedroom is has gotten worse, and on my side of the vanity, as mm-hmm. opposed to Tyra's, the water pressure is going down to this. It seems to be getting to. It's not a trickle, but it's getting thinner and thinner. So, is that poltergeist? Is that ghost in the machine?
It could be as simple as removing the aerator on the faucet.
I've done that.
And when you do that, does the water pressure, is it any better?
The water pressure when the aerator's off seems okay. I've replaced the aerator. Yes, I've replaced the aerator.
Wow.
Please make a note of it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. But it's still not what I think it should be.
Okay. And, you know, one of the things that can happen is, because you've had some work done recently on your home, right?
That entire bathroom was redone 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. Well, there could be some loose sediment in the line.
Loose sediment.
And what I would do is, underneath the sink, I would turn the water stops, you know, the hot and the cold water stops, I'd articulate them, so I'd turn them all the way off, turn them all the way back on, turn them all the way back off, and then try that a couple times with both faucet valves open to try and flush the system out. You may be able to do it then. If that is not doesn't make things better, then it might be that you have to take the valves apart and clean them out inside the faucet.
Now we're getting into plumbing territory.
Now we're over your pay grade.
You know, any YouTube videos it took me just to learn the aerator thing?
Yeah, right.
Come on. let's get over here to Gary in Mount Prospect. Gary, say hi to Lou.
Hello, Lou.
Morning. What's your question?
A simple question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Very simple. I bought a new air conditioner last summer, and do I cover it this winter? Is there any advantage to covering it, or do you just leave it uncovered?
So if it's not, in other words, if it does not operate at all as a heat pump in the wintertime, it's okay to cover just the top, or the top, in my opinion, the top, like, couple feet. What I try and avoid giving advice people is when you get these covers that you can buy that'll cover the entire unit all the way down to the ground, it becomes a safe haven for rodents. And all of a sudden, they're like, hey, it's freezing outside. I'm going to go inside this, you know, wind block inside here and like, oh, look at these wires. I'm going to chew on those. And so if you buy one of those covers, my advice is make sure that the covers are at least a foot or so off the ground, so it's not protected down low. And really all you're trying to protect with this is the fan blades. If we get a heavy snow or ice buildup that could, you know, damage the fan on the top, just covering the top of it, in my opinion, is the benefit.
You have a follow-up, Gary?
No, that's all I got. That's good advice.
All right, thank you. Don't hang up. We have prizes. Super Joe, what are the prizes for Gary? What does he get? What does he get for being on? Does he get Yasmani Grandal's money?
Ooh.
He does not. No.
Oh, ooh, tough break. What do we give him? So we're going to give him Lou Malnati's pizza? Why don't we do that?
Yeah.
All right, Lou Malnati's pizza. There you go. Enjoy that pizza. It's Friday night. Why not have a pizza? Yeah. Any whiny staff questions before we continue? Dave, you look like you might have one.
Oh, I'm trying to. I mean, I have so many. I'm trying to.
We're going to have to limit you to one, Dave.
Yeah. I'm trying
to. Lou's very busy.
Of where to begin.
Busy.
The humidifier on my furnace.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a dial on it which sets a temperature range where it's like for
optimal humidity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, now we've been going from 50 degrees to 20 degrees.
This is a tough time to set.
Yeah, I don't know where to set it. Or do I have to just keep setting it every day?
Well, and the problem, too, Dave, is when you're using a whole house humidifier, it takes a good 24 hours for the home to reach that, the desired, level of humidity in the home. And so this is a tough year because we're in transition. I would probably just set it at whatever the temperature, typically around 32, 35 degrees mm-hmm. or so. Just let that run. I am also a big fan of people buying a separate humidistat for about $10 that you can put in, like, the living room. And that way, because that what that sensor is doing is it's sensing the humidity level as it flows through your system. Is this one on the furnace or is it on the wall?
It's on the side of the furnace.
Okay, so that's where it's sensing the humidity that's flowing through the system. That isn't necessarily the humidity you feel in the kitchen or the dining room.
Right, I don't live in the basement.
Correct, so,
well not this week.
Yeah,
sometimes,
how,
but that's a different story.
What things you say to Mrs. Ennett.
Yes.
This separate unit you buy at the hardware store, put it in the living room, leave it there for 24 hours, and then pay attention to what that says. If right now it's at, 40% humidity, which probably is, you're good. That you want to bring down. When we start lowering temperatures outside, we want to maintain around 25 to 30%. Anything more than 30%, we start getting moisture on the glass.
Gotcha.
Gee, I have a question for Lou.
I sure do. My apartment seems extra dusty, and it's not just because I haven't been cleaning it regularly.
That would have been my first tip.
I know, Lou.
Swiffer.
I want to know if you can recommend an air filtration system, one of those stand-by-itself ones,
So there's a bunch of these whole house air purifiers that are out there. What you're looking for is HEPA filtration. And with HEPA filtration, I really don't care whose you buy. 3M makes one. There's a company called WEMO, WEMOE, I believe it is. And, they have all these sensors, and they say, when it's cleaning, it's blue. I just want a filter, a HEPA filtration filter and a fan to be able to take in the air at the bottom, filter the air, and blow it out of the top, typically. And the key with these things, G, is you have to let them run 24/7.
Let them run, G.
It's not, a lot of people think, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to turn it off. Well, if it's not filtering the air 24/7, it's not doing you any good. It's not like you turn it on, it's not like an exhaust fan in a bathroom.
Okay. Got it.
All right, less than a minute here. If I go into an Ace Hardware this weekend, maybe yours, maybe somebody else's, what's the coolest thing in the store?
Well, I mean, for the time of year, what we have right now, and it's so affordable, for $60, you can buy a setup to do a deep fried turkey.
Oh.
And I have to tell you. Without blowing up your house. Now, this all you need is a propane tank because they run off propane.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a huge get-together for Thanksgiving. We'll be at our house. We'll have 55 people.
Good Lord.
And
that doesn't even include me crashing the party.
No, but we wouldn't even know if you came because there's so many people. But we do five birds. And a couple of them are deep-fried birds. And I started doing that a few years ago. And it's the easiest thing to do if you follow the instructions, and I promise you it'll be the first bird to go.
So, meaning everybody will want it.
Everybody will want it. You can do up to a 15-pound bird, and you can cook it in 45 minutes. You put it outside safely away from the home, bring a fire extinguisher. I do this every year.
I do that when I make macaroni and cheese for Abigail.
It's the one time a year that I smoke a cigar. It's a whole event.
a man's man. Lou Manfredini, you're on TV soon. We'll see you there.
Love you.
Love you back. There you go. That's Lou, and you know who you are at 627. Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. 639, I know a good chunk of you will not be working next week. There's a lot of people take the whole Thanksgiving week off, I understand. Of course, the hardworking crew here will be here through Wednesday, with the exception of Dave, who will be off for the majority of the week.
I won't be off. What? I will be working, Steve. Oh, I just won't be working here.
Oh, I see.
I'll be off, too. I don't know if I guess I forgot to tell you.
Hey, let's talk about you for a second. A good volume of texts in the last couple of days, because the company that bought this place, Nextar Media, is changing some things. And they have a right to do that. They bought the place. But with respect to the listeners who are wondering and asking and upset, Steve is no longer going to be doing the opening bell. You'll be on with me doing the news, though, as this show moves to 5 a.m.
Yes, I'll still be here.
All right, so we can have some of your business friends on, can't we?
Absolutely, and they would love to come on.
Okay, good.
So we'll still be doing some of your money stuff.
I told you this off the air. Let me just say it on the air. I thought what you did with the opening bell over the past, how many years has it been?
Four
years. I thought it was impressive, very impressive, and I thought you did a tremendous job.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. Very proud of the broadcast we put together. Of course, I didn't do it by myself. Bennett Wakenight, who was the executive producer of the show, mentioned this on the show this morning, just had a wonderful knack for pulling the guests in and newsmakers in. And, of course, you know, Mary Sandberg Boyle was the initial producer of the show, so she laid the foundation for it all. So a lot of hands went into it, and we're all very proud of what we did.
And thank you for that. And we look forward to you continuing your very early morning efforts on this program.
Looking forward to it.
What will the crankometer be at? Will you be crankier or less cranky?
Well, I've been practicing the crankometer this week, so I'll probably just get up a half an hour earlier. And, okay. You know, so I'm sure I'll be my normal cranky self.
All right, so 6 to 10, Cochrane Show goes to 5 to 9. Jisoo Ki is moving. Well, not literally moving. It's not like you're packing up. But you'll be doing the noon business lunch.
I will be doing it.
Starting this, by the way, all this starts on what, December 2nd? Is that the Monday?
Except I'm on vacation the very first week of December, which I had planned for. And
so you'll debut the following week.
Yes, I will. And I will miss you. I will miss all of you very much.
Listen, I told you this. Amongst all the people who have traipsed through these doors, you've been more fun than all of them.
Oh, thanks.
Don't you think, Dave?
Wow.
I think. Certainly, without a question.
Boy, that was a strong commitment from Dave, wasn't it?
Well, you know, he wants to be fair. He doesn't want to pick favorites.
So as I said yesterday later in the show, I have mixed emotions. I'm happy for you because you're getting your own thing. But we'll miss having you on the show.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'm sad to go. And, of course, Steve Bertrand has done a fabulous job with the...
And Bertrand's going to be in the newsroom. Some people think he's leaving the station. He's not.
So he will still be on during the hour, and I'm excited to flex different muscles and showcase that I have...
Where are your business muscles? Do you even know?
I've got to find them, okay, Steve. Okay. No, they're there. They're in there.
You're going to do a great job.
Thank you.
And the most important question I asked you yesterday was, does this mean all of the goodies, the snacks that she brought in for her food segment are going away? And the answer was yes, and it's very disappointing.
I have a feeling somehow she'll incorporate food and restaurant business into the noon business lunch.
Yes, but we won't be here to eat the snacks.
You may stay. If I know you, Steve Grzanich, you may hang around on certain days.
I just think we've got to plan, you know, outings together now so that we can, all of us.
Field trips.
Please.
Starting on the 2nd from 9 to noon, John Williams moves to 9 to noon. As I said, you'll be on noon to 1. We love John. Nobody's more GN than John. And then from 1 to 3, Anna DeVlantis leaving the Rokan show. You know, you read about their horrible fight in the National Enquirer.
They were not fighting.
Anna DeVlantis gets her own thing. She'll do 1 to 3. And then Rose on 3 to 7, and Justin's on at night when there's not sports. You'll notice I didn't mention Bill and Wendy. Bill and Wendy are no longer with the station. Not because they were bad. Just
they were
because,
amazing.
They did a great show. But things change. And again, the people that bought the place have a right to do whatever they want to with the place, and they've decided to go in a different direction. I've talked to and texted with Bill and Wendy in the past couple of days, and they love you guys, and they want you to know that, and they really appreciate the support. So that's the fall schedule change as we know it, starting on the 2nd, with the exception of the noon business lunch, which will start on the 9th.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And you're amazing, and I've learned so much from you. So,
well, you're very sweet to say that. Thank you. But I don't know why you can't do both shows.
I can be here for 12 hours. It's no problem.
Black Friday deals are not a week away. They're on now. Right now, Dave. Right now.
Right now?
Rush to your Amazon device. Here's a couple of Amazon Black Friday deals you can get starting today. An Amazon deal on a new Kindle Paperwhite. You know, the Kindles where you do all your digital reading?
I travel with it. Love it.
Do you have a Paperwhite?
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes the letters just pop.
They do. They do.
It costs $130. Normally, it's $84.99. A Ring Video Doorbell Pro with an Echo Show 5. So they throw in the Echo Show. The Echo Show is like an adult baby monitor. It's like a video thing where you can actually talk to the people combine FaceTime with an Echo, right? Isn't that a good description of it?
That's a great one.
I've told you, I have that on my nightstand. That's my alarm clock.
The Echo Show?
Well, I think that's what it's the round thing, right?
The round thing? That'd be your Alexa Echo? Mm-hmm. What'd you name it, Alexa or Echo?
Echo, because my wife's got an Alexa on her nightstand.
Oh, because you wanted both to go?
We didn't want to confuse them.
I named mine Bob. Doesn't work. Anyway, $189. That package normally would be $328.99. A Blink XT2 outdoor indoor smart security camera. That's normally $250. $184.99. And I think you get two cameras for that. It's your indoor outdoor situation. I think. I'm not positive.
Now, are these deals where there's a limited quantity, so you have
to... Costco? You buying a whole store?
No, I'm just saying, sometimes you hear about these deals, and then, you know, they have five of them.
I don't know. There is that bait and switch thing that happens on Black and Friday. Black and Friday. Have some blackened chicken on Black
and
Friday.
Like blackened a catfish.
An Echo Dot, third generation of the Echo Dot. That's a little squat mini Echo. Normally $60, $22.
Basically,
$22 on the 22nd.
Every single human being wants to have a personal assistant.
Yeah, sure, of course. Why wouldn't you? Do this, do that, tell me this, tell me that. Chipotle announced yesterday that they will give away Amazon Alexa devices. If your name is Alexa.
Chipotle?
Yeah, and you order using the Alexa. There's a new way you can tie the app into Alexa. And from your house, you can go, Alexa, I'm hungry. I want Chipotle. And I'll go to your normal list of regular orders. And then you can just go pick it up.
Wow.
How could any of this go wrong?
That sounds really complicated.
It's not so much. Black Friday price for the Fire TV Stick and Echo Dot bundle, which is normally $90, $69.98. So there's a bunch of just digital deals there. If you want to learn a new language because you're going into hiding, Rosetta Stone, half price. That's a Black Friday deal. It's going on now. Pick your language, and it's half price. But you're probably saying, Steve, isn't the Mr. Rogers movie opening this weekend? And I'm saying yes. And then I'm saying, well, what does that have to do with today? I have Mr. Rogers stuff you can get.
That are Black Friday?
Well, they're not necessarily Black Friday sales prices, but it's pretty cool stuff. How about Mr. Rogers bath soap for $6?
What kind of soap is Mr. Rogers' bath soap?
I assume it's a bar with his face on it, so you can take a bath with Mr. Rogers.
I don't want to take a bath with Mr. Rogers.
You don't know that. Maybe you do. Be open-minded. Mr. Rogers' magnet set with magnets that say, I like you just the way you are. Let's make the most of this beautiful day. You don't have to be anything more than who you are right now. These are magnets that you can put on your refrigerator, I suppose.
I'm really into that.
How about a King Friday oven mitt?
Wait, you were telling me a fun fact about King Friday the other day.
Was I?
You were telling me why he was created.
Do you remember what King Friday's fun fact was?
Was it something to do with Friday the 13th?
Oh, that's right. That's right. Very good. King Friday was invented because Mr. Rogers, who had an incredible amount of insight into what kids thought about, what they're afraid of, and what they needed to have understanding about, King Friday was brought about to explain Friday the 13th and why it shouldn't be scary. Very good. Nice work by you. You're going to need to be calling.
I listen to you.
You need to be calling in from that noon show of yours. How about a Mr. Rogers sticky notes booklet? Think about Post-it notes. Everyone has Mr. Rogers' face on them.
Oh, no, that's a definite winner.
It's $8. Here's the problem. Eventually, you're going to throw that paper out. How do you throw out Mr. Rogers' face?
That's going to be difficult.
I don't know if I could do that. A Mr. Rogers Funko.
What's the Funko?
It's that guy.
Oh.
How would you describe that?
Oh.
It's a giant big-headed toy
thing. They're those collectible...
Giant head toys.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Funkos. Yeah.
I just forgot that that's what they were called.
I didn't. I'd seen these. I didn't know what they were called either. Why don't I have a Funko? I mean, if the thing's about a giant head, shouldn't I have one?
You would be a perfect Funko.
Mr. Rogers pins for $16. You can get those. Mr. Rogers magnetic dress-up playset. Dave, this would be great for you. Great fun for you. All the traveling you do, the downtime in between games. $15. You remember like color forms?
Sure. They kind of, you peel them off the strip and
yeah, kind of that vibe.
They don't really, they're not really adhesive. They just kind of, they kind of hang.
It's just a descriptive, Dave. Don't get too caught up in it.
I'm trying to visualize being in a hotel room with this.
I'm trying to visualize the police coming in and seeing you playing with it.
Yeah.
And finally, Mr. Rogers socks. These are high-quality socks with Mr. Rogers and King Friday's face on them, or Mr. Rogers and other characters' faces on them as well.
I think socks are always a great gift. Stocking stuffer, especially those, the novelty ones.
The socks have a reinforced heel and toe and are safe to machine wash. You can buy the same socks in women's sizes, $14.
That is the most important thing, the reinforced toe.
I was in a band called Reinforced Team. No, it really was. Fitz coming up. Bridget Gaynor will be in studio with us. We'll find out what Bridget does for Thanksgiving. I'm sure she has a warm, family-oriented Thanksgiving routine. Like, sit down. Right now, here comes a turkey.
She's organized. She's
very organized.
She's not controlling. I can't see her saying that.
I just don't see anybody saying no to Bridget Gaynor. So I think the turkey probably says yes as well. Would you like me in the oven? It's not a problem. I'll be in the oven. Don't be upset.
She has influence.
Yes, she does. Also coming up on the program, Dan Hampton talking about them Bears. The Bears and the Giants this weekend. Have we named this game, Dave? Is this like the Who Cares Bowl? What is this?
No, I don't think it requires a special name.
Hmm.
Just because you have two teams that are look
poor Dave.
Even though the Bears have struggled, the Giants are a lot worse.
Yeah,
so which it's means, the worst. It's the who's worse poll.
Right.
There you go.
It's a fight to suck less. Where is this game? Is this home? Or is
it's
this
home.
There?
Yes.
Okay.
Soldier Field.
I should swing by. Probably.
I guess you're not going.
Yeah. Actually, I have tickets. I should probably swing by.
Oh my goodness.
And the Hawks lose again last night. Annoying after that hot streak of four. They've lost two in a row now. Because guess what? We're going to turn that around. Get it right back.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You got the next two against those red-hot Dallas Stars.
Doesn't matter. Have faith, Dave.
Oh, I didn't say I didn't have faith.
No, not in the Bears, in the Blackhawks.
I do have
poor
faith.
Dave. I'll say that again.
Thanks, G.
And comedian Jake Johansson coming up as well. Let's get to the newsroom and see the standing by. We'll get Coach Fitz on here in just a second. First at 7:09, let me say hello to my friend Bridget Gaynor. Good morning to you.
Good morning. What's going on?
It's Friday. We're very thrilled.
I can tell.
I was just talking about Thanksgiving. I assume you have big plans?
I host Thanksgiving every year.
How many will be invading?
Actually, so every other year my sisters have to go to their in-laws.
Okay.
So this year it's just my family and my brother, and he's working till 6, so we'll eat later, and my mom. So
a small group.
It is, you know, bittersweet. I was trying to convince my mom to go somewhere else because, you know, it's the first year.
Yeah.
We haven't had my dad. So, but I think last year we were all my sisters were in town. Mm-hmm. So we got to have that together. So, yeah, you know.
It's weird, right? When the kids.
Super weird.
When your kids get older and your parents pass and then, you know, the whole configuration changes. So
it does. It does. But.
And the side dishes as well.
Well, and now Lily's a vegetarian, so
really?
I'm trying to figure out that combo.
Oh, you do a tofurkey?
You know what? Drop her off at Dave's house.
Yeah, sure.
Coach Fitz.
Okay.
He's close. Coach Fitz joins us. Good morning, Coach.
Oh, I'm glad you can make it this morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, Coach.
That's great. Sometimes. Well, I am just so thankful here on Thanksgiving week that you could find a way to make it in on a Friday morning.
Sometimes Coach coaches me. Hey, what do you do for Thanksgiving?
Well, we have practice in the morning, and then coaches open their houses up to any guys that may need somewhere to go for Thanksgiving dinner. And traditionally, all of our Chicago guys bring their teammates home. So it's been a couple of years since Stacy and I have hosted, but then we have the whole family here, side by side here. Almost all of our siblings are on the south side, and you know, my one sister lives on the northwest side. One of Stacy's brothers lives out in Colorado, so most of the family's here, and we have a great meal and have a lot of fun.
Do you cook or carve?
I'm part of the carving crew. It's myself and my dad.
That's nice.
You know, yeah. No, Stacy's a rock star. Now she'll. I'll wake up and I'll watch out for the Bumpus's dogs and everything. Even though it's not Christmas, I'll still be watching out for the dogs. And if you don't know the reference to Christmas Story, you got bigger issues than sitting out on Fridays.
Wow!
He came loaded this morning. It's well.
Hey, listen, we won a game. I'm ready to rock.
Okay? There you go. All right. So you did win a game last week against UMass. You got Minnesota tomorrow. You're not winning the Big Ten West this year, but you have a chance to have a say in who does win it tomorrow against Minnesota. You come out with your injury report last night, and your starting quarterback the last six games, Aiden Smith, listed as doubtful. Is that something new? And does Andrew Marty get his first start at quarterback for you?
Yeah, you know, it's been a tough year for that position, and injury has been a big part of it. And so, you know, we'll see kind of how the next 48 hours progress. Something relatively new that came up last week, and, you know, we'll just work through it and see how things go.
Minnesota's had a tremendous year, but they had a big bump in the road last week. And you've been very firm about, listen, this is an anomaly. We're going to be back, and we're going to be back fast. Yeah. And I think fans love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, it's the truth. And, you know, credit to Minnesota. I mean, they've basically taken our script that we've had over our time, and PJ's done a nice job, without a doubt. But they've taken care of the ball. They've controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. They've taken the ball away, and they found a way to win close games. You know, their first three games, one was double overtime. The other ones were one-score possessions, and big win a couple weeks ago against Penn State in a hard-fought battle. And then, you know, Kinnick's a tough place to play, especially at night, and the Hawkeyes played maybe their best game of the year last week. So they've got some quarterback issues, too. So, you know, it's going to come down again. It has been the whole year for us, taking and winning the turnover ratio. I mean, if we can do that, we give ourselves an opportunity to win, and then we've got to make plays in the fourth quarter if we get it to that point by taking care of the ball.
Senior day, always a special day for you?
Yeah, it's an emotional day. You know, it'll be a little bit extra emotional, quite frankly, Dave, you know, from the standpoint that you know, I'm used to having, you know, at least a handful more games here and then another month with seniors getting ready for bowl practice and our bowl game. So, you know, not to have that is really disappointing, but we'll have a great celebration here at the house on Saturday night. We throw a tailgate party for the senior families and their guests to really just say thank you for all that they've done. And obviously to the guys, but more importantly to their families. And we'll honor 20 great guys, our great cheerleading crew, our band, our equipment managers, our video crew, our student athletic trainers. It's not just our guys. It's the whole program, and we've got a bunch of seniors in every area, and we're just really thankful for their sacrifice and dedication, and hopefully go out as winners for the last time in Ryan Field.
Coach, I'm thankful for the access and for all you do and for being on the show, so happy Thanksgiving, friend.
You too, buddy, and I'm so thankful for all of you, and great to be partners and part of the WGN family. So thanks so much, and all of our great Wildcat fans, happy Thanksgiving. Thanks a lot. Go Cats.
There you go. You wouldn't miss a Go Cats.
Nope.
Not going to happen. We'll come back more with Bridget in a second. We've got some folks talking adoption, which, of course, is close to my heart. And in addition to that, Dan Hepton will come on and explain to us why we should absolutely be interested in the Bears and the Giants.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I am too. I admit it. I am. Bridget Gaynor's here. How are things at the Cook County Board?
They're great. We passed the budget yesterday. You know, no new taxes, so that makes things pretty calm.
How are you able to pay for things without taxes? Don't you know you're in Chicago?
You know, there's been, you know, holding the line on things, cutting unfilled positions, and pretty much tightening the belt across the board. You know, one thing that's looming out there is the Cook County Hospital, because over the last couple of years, it's been really volatile with healthcare reform and the Obamacare, or whatever we're calling it now, and people have a harder time getting on, and they have an easier time kind of getting kicked off, and so if people don't have health insurance, they still come to the hospital. So that's an issue we'll have to face next year. But
for what's now, good it's news? Good. No, it is. It's good news. I mean, you know, in a world of bad politics news, that's good news.
It is very good news. No, we're doing well. And then I leave after this, and we go to our the closing of the 500th home rehab of the land bank.
That's great.
And Darcel Rocket wrote a really nice story in the Tribune that I think is going to run this weekend. And it was great. It was about all the young, you know, entrepreneurs that on the south and west sides that are doing these buildings, and it's going great.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, because you give opportunity to young entrepreneurs and ability for them to get in the business with a passion they love, and also you benefit the community.
Exactly. You're building a market, and it's not taxpayer subsidized. It's market subsidized, so it's good.
You may have noticed Mary Vandeveld's off today. Let's bug her and make her get up and put her on the show. Good morning, Mary.
Hey, good morning. I slept till 6 o'clock.
Normally, what time do you get up?
3:33.
Oh my god,
3:33.
I love that it's 3:33.
Oh. Yeah, actually, since my clock changed, it might be 3:37. Not sure, but it's still early.
Anyway, you
but
know,
I'm like.
It's early or late, depending on your orientation.
Exactly, 3:33. That's right. When I used to go to bed. All right, so here's the thing. You know I'm adopted. You have a special place in your heart for adoption as well. Who are we going to talk to here? Your friend.
Yes, I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. Yes, this is my cousin, Mary Mueller. We call her Mary Beth growing up. She grew up with me, and we're very close. And she never wanted to find out anything about her biological parents. Her adopted parent or her parents are absolutely wonderful. My aunt and uncle, Aunt Margie and Uncle Jim. So she never pursued anything. Well, last Christmas, I bought an Ancestry.com present for her because she had always kind of said, you know, we were trying to figure out what nationality she was. And that was kind of, you know, a joke all the time or whatever. So that's the only reason I bought this kit. I did not know it would snowball into this wonderful adoption story, but I'll let her tell you that.
All right. Well, let's go there right now. It's Mary's cousin, also named Mary. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great. So this wonderful story that it evolved into is what?
Well, it was kind of funny. Mary, you know, over the years, I was adopted, and, you know, I knew what my name was, but I didn't know. I mean, I knew I was Irish, English, French, Dutch, German, and Italian, and, you know, kind of thing, little bitty things. But I didn't know my background. I didn't know, you know, I had kids, and so I thought, you know, what would happen to me if, you know, for my kids later on, you know, if they were going to inherit, you know, illnesses or whatever.
I get it completely. Yeah.
And so all of a sudden Mary sends me this box, and I had always wanted to get it. And of course I open it up, and she says, "Don't be mad at me." I said, "What am I going to be mad at you for?"
Those are the best presents, aren't they? The don't be mad at me presents.
Exactly. And so I open up the box, and I started almost crying because I'm like, oh, my God, I always wanted to do this. And so I waited, and I did it. It took me about a month to, you know, to convince myself.
Sure.
And so I finally did it. And, I mean, within as soon as the response came back, I got a name that pops up on Ancestry. And he says, "I'm your cousin."
See, that's the crazy thing about this now, this new generation of these DNA kits. When I found my birth family, I literally hired a private investigator. Mm-hmm. And it was to find medical information. It wasn't to rock anybody's life. And I've been blessed because I have this family. Both my parents were gone. And I'm like you, Mary. You know, my parents were the folks that raised me. I grew up, I wasn't going, oh, what a terrible situation I'm in. I just felt like my kids deserved to know what was in the bloodline and all of that. And just got the double blessing. So you end up meeting your cousin. Who else have you met?
Well, I about 2 months ago, I was at my cousin's wedding. And all of a sudden, I find out I have a brother and a sister.
Wow.
And she pops up on my screen, and she says, "I'm your sister."
Wow.
And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. I mean, she and I had gone back and forth. I knew she took the test. But, I mean, you know how you're kind of leery at first because you don't know if it's really going to be, you know, the truth or whatever? Oh, my gosh, everything. I mean, then I find out I have another cousin.
Wow, what a cool story.
I mean, it's kind of cool, and I've, you know, I have not seen them. I've talked to the one cousin who lives in Chicago. His name is Greg, and we just actually we had conversation on the phone about a week or two ago, which was really kind of neat. And but the funny thing is, I find out stuff. I'm not Irish, English, French, Dutch, German, and Italian.
What are you?
I'm Irish and English.
Mm-hmm.
And I might have a little Belgian in me, and I always wanted that because my cousins are all Belgian. Yay! And so it's like...
Sounds like a setup for a joke. I got a little Belgian in me.
What is that Belgian doing in me?
Right. Yeah. And can he be removed? Most of us are European mutts to some degree, but I share exactly. your enthusiasm for it because it has opened a lot of folks up to a world they didn't know existed. And I suppose all you had to do is spit into a test tube and mail it off. Is that what happened?
That's all it was. I mean, literally, I thought, okay, great. And my husband, even to this day, thinks, wow, really? And I thought, well, if people crop up on there and it says 100%, that's your brother and sister and that's your cousin, I don't know. I mean, and they took the test, too. They took the test after I took the test.
Yeah, and it matched.
And it, I mean, it's
That's pretty cool. Now, Mary, what will you be doing for this holiday season? Maybe finding distant relatives who might have committed crimes and using DNA evidence to bring them in?
Actually, I'm going home to Williamsburg to my adopted parents, my mom, Marge, and Jim, Bruja.
Oh, they're still alive. That's great.
They're the amazing, most amazing people in the world.
That's great. God bless them.
Have been wonderful people my whole life, all three. Actually, you know what's funny? My brother Jimmy, my brother Michael, and I, all three were adopted. My father is adopted. Mm-hmm. And my father took the ancestry test too.
Wow.
Now that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool to
and
get that generation.
And what's even cooler was he took it and he said, oh, I found out exactly what I already knew. I'm Irish.
You Irish types. Mary Vandeveld, thanks for opening up to that story because we wouldn't have known it without you. And that's pretty cool. And I'm not surprised, Mary Vandeveld, that you wondered if you did the right thing, but clearly you did. Further evidence that Mary Vandeveld's a wonderful human being.
She's awesome.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But we're very close. We love each other. We have the same name. She's MB. I'm Eminem. So happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, and Eminem, congratulations on that little Belgian. You guys have fun.
Thank you, guys. Okay, thanks, Steve.
All right,
bye, Steve.
Enjoy your day
bye.
Off. There you go. That's Mary Vandeveld, Mary Muller, and a whole bunch of folks. It's a nice story.
It is, but I have no desire to do that. None.
That's unfortunate because we needed to know this. We got you to spit into a test tube. Let's bring out a few of your relatives that you didn't know you had.
Do you know most of your family history, though?
Yeah, I know
I think
my
it's
family
more,
history.
I think it's for people that really...
No,
just,
I get that. Look, yeah. Look, the adoption thing, I 100% get it, or if there's some lack of clarity. But I, I don't know. I don't know if I want surprises in that vein, you know.
Don't you feel like Bridget's got some secrets she's right on the edge of finding out about?
Well, it's like when you're having a baby and they're like, they asked, do you want to know if you're having the baby or do you want to be surprised? I was like, there's a human coming out of my body. That's a lot of surprises.
Yeah.
I'm going to minimize surprises. Let's minimize surprises. So, yes, I want to know what kind of baby is going to be coming out of my body. But I'm like, you know, I know my story now. I'm Irish. I like it. I all that good stuff. I don't know if now I want to find out that I have a little Belgian in me.
Well, we'll find out. You never know. Could be a nice Belgian. 728 News next. Get to Hamp on the Bears in just a second. Of course, sponsored by our friends. Pardon me. I get very emotional when Hamp's on. ChevyDriveChicago.com. I got a whole thing about Thanksgiving history I want to get to at some point. But before I pick up the phone with Hamp, I think one food is more polarizing than any other on Thanksgiving. It's the green bean casserole.
I just had this conversation with my son, who's like, yeah, I don't really like that. I was like, what?
I don't like it.
How have I failed?
Is it because you're questioning whether you put the crinkly, the crispy onions on top or not?
I'm questioning why people eat it.
Oh, my God.
Campbell's estimates that 30% of their cream of mushroom soup is bought specifically for the green bean casserole.
I read that. That was hilarious. I thought it was awesome.
In 1955, and this name seems appropriate, the green bean casserole was invented by a home economist working in Campbell's Soup Company. That home economist's name was Dorcas Riley.
Okay.
So the green bean casserole.
Top seventh grade.
Green bean casserole is 64 years old. There's no reason we can't still get rid of it.
There's almost nothing that cream of mushroom soup doesn't make better. So I'm just going to throw that out.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's in a lot of casseroles.
Go
it's
to.
Like I don't even know you. Dan Hampton joins us. Ham, you're not a green bean casserole guy, are you?
No, yeah.
You are.
And I was telling my bride the other day, once a year, it's like Thanksgiving, you know, you get special, you know, choices of food. I said, make sure we've got a couple of gallons of green bean casserole. But I got to tell you, I love that name. Hey, that could be a name for a quarterback.
Dorcas?
You know, somewhere here in town. Dorcas Trubisky. I like that.
I don't know if you heard Dave mention a second ago that Fred Cox passed, the Vikings kicker, played when you were around in the game as well, in your early days especially. 80 years old. He invented the Nerf football.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, he invented it, and we play with it. So there you go.
I remember once at the old building, Dave, we had a Nerf football. We were tossing it around, and I didn't know Hamp was in the building, and I caught it, and he had an NFL flashback and drove me right through the drywall.
He did.
All right, so the Bears and the Giants, we'll break this down in detail coming up in a second, but the top reason to watch this game is?
You've got a couple of quarterbacks that, hey, you know, you have no idea what's going to happen.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's a fair statement.
That's fair. That's an absolutely in-depth fair statement. And
isn't
hold
that
the line
nice
on that.
To not know what's going to happen?
Sponsored by Chevy, drivechicago.com. G, and Bridget, if you want to jump in at the end here with your insightful, deep football questions, feel free. Or Thanksgiving questions. But in the meantime, Hamp, you got the Giants coming to town against the Bears. The Giants are awful. New York City is thinking about getting out of the NFL with the Giants and Jets combo platter. But, of course, all eyes will be on our quarterback. I'm of the mind.
And theirs.
Well, theirs,
you know,
too.
They've got a rookie. His name's Daniel Jones, and he leads the NFL with some 17 turnovers through 10 games. So, I mean, it's not like we are immune to, you know, having the only bad quarterback in town. Other folks get it, too. So, but this kid, you know, obviously he's on a trajectory. He's had a couple of games where he looks like, you know, the goods. And so it'll be, like I said, both these quarterbacks, they're a box of chocolates, as Forrest Gump used to say. You have no idea what you're going to get.
I don't know if you saw the comments. Chase Daniel, after practice yesterday, said that he saw Mitch Trubisky throw the ball better yesterday than he has at any Thursday practice. And you know, I know a lot of people have been saying, well, why don't they play Chase Daniel instead of Trubisky here? But, I mean, there's a reason that...
Well, but there's a thing, Dave, you know this, you're a golfer, and Hamp, you're a golfer, you're nuts for it like I am. There's driving range pros everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, guys that hit it like crazy on the range and can't score. Maybe that's what we got here, Hamp.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. But before I get to that, guys, this only... And after the game this past Sunday, and see, this is where this is kind of evolved into the you know, theater of the absurd. You know, they come out with this nonsensical hip injury excuse. They made it up, then they get caught, and they've got to, you know, cover it up. And there's nothing wrong with this hip. There was never anything wrong with this hip. Part of the reason why Trubisky has not progressed is they coddle him too much. And you know what? A lot of times you get what you deserve in life. Well, you haven't demanded a whole lot out of this kid. You didn't make him play in the preseason. You don't make him, you know, do an awful lot of training and extra curricular film study and all. And then, you know, then you're perplexed when he can't play. So, you know, you know, how can he throw the ball better than he's ever thrown it, coming off of a hip region, hip pointer? So, you know, let's put that away. But I'll never forget one day one of our golf buddies couldn't show up. And I'm like, we got to get a fourth, because, you know, you got to have four in a, you know, to have a good game.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this guy, and I said, look at that guy over there. Look at his practice swing. It's great. And my buddy Ray turns to me and goes, everybody's got a good practice.
Right.
You get over the ball.
Right.
Then you get, you know, then, you know, you look like Jim Furyk or something. I'm just saying, you know, what happens on Wednesday, yeah, you hope it translates into, you know, confidence on Sunday, but how much of that can he actually bring? You know, all I heard, you know, was how great and accurate he was, and Ed Obradovich, you know, went through all the breakdowns of
Ryan based his scouting report on him, that he's got great footwork and great accuracy. And none of this stuff have we seen on any basis. Consistent, you know, of course, being the last part of the basis. But sooner or later, you know, they're going to have to start, you know, turning the heat up on this kid and just say, hey, it's time you make it happen. And I was the first one in the post game last week to say this game was not, this loss was not because of Mitchell Trubisky's throwing problems. A lot of what happened was horrible play calling and, you know, drops by the receivers, offensive line, inefficiencies, all these different things. But it wasn't Mitch. But sooner or later, you know, it reverts back to the quarterback. If you have a game where you're not getting a lot of production, the quarterback's got to be your savior, the guy that bails you out. He wasn't able to.
Do you realize the Bears have dropped more passes than any other team except one in the NFL?
They're not supposed to lead in that. Are they confused? That's a statistical category you don't want to lead in.
Yeah, it's like being, or you don't want to be over par.
Super Joe, get in here.
Dan, Khalil Mack was completely shut out last week against the Rams. Is it? Do you think it's more on 52 or the rest of the front seven not helping out and doing their job?
Yeah, it's a combination of all of the above. Here's the other thing. You know, and I got doubled a lot. And here's what happens. When you ram it into one guy and you're in the corner of your eye, you see the other one coming, and he takes a kill shot at you, then you get mad, so you're starting to look at the second guy before the first guy, and then you kind of get out of sorts. And you forget that job one is to beat the guy in front of you first. You got to be, or you have no chance. So he's got to kind of figure this out, got to go through it. Akeem Hicks is a big part of what we're seeing. You know, Akeem Hicks forced a lot of doubles, which kept that to a minimum on the outside for Khalil Mack. But I got to tell you, hey, even today, I've got two knee replacements. I could make an assist somehow, some way. I don't know what he was doing, but sooner or later, you know, if he wants to be the leader, somehow, some way, he's got to figure out a way to stay lower, play more violent, play harder, turn the corners. You know, and a lot of times it was tight ends blocking him. So, you know, he's out of sorts. And, you know, I'll just say this. I knew that we would miss Vic Fangio going into the season. I didn't realize we'd miss him this much.
Wow. We got to get some predictions in here. One last question, Zay, for you.
One quick question. There's one guy on this Giants offense who I think is a little bit scary, especially when you look at the way teams have run the ball, especially early in games against the Bears. That's Saquon Barkley. I know he hasn't had the kind of year he had last year, and he missed three games with injury, but they're coming off a bye week. Supposedly he's healthy now. How concerned should the Bears be about him?
You know, they should. Remember what happened a year ago. We go to the Meadowlands, and we start Chase Daniel, and he throws two interceptions, and Saquon Barkley ran all over us and put on a highlight film. And that can happen, you know, any day. So, you know, this Giant team, obviously they're struggling, but they're looking for answers just like us. And a win's a win to them, just like it is for us. So we shan't, you know, underestimate them. Yeah, we know we got a, you know, a game, you know, 4 days later in Detroit. You can't even think about that. You got to go out and think about finding a way to win. I personally think we're going to see a pretty good team effort, and this is going to be a game that not only should we win, but we will almost easily.
Prediction, Super Joe.
I'm going with another low-scoring game. Giants are coming off a bye, but I don't think they have enough to beat the Bears. I think the Bears win 14-10.
Bridget, what's your prediction of the Bears game? Don't act like you don't have one.
You know what? I'm not going to give anything away because I don't want to throw off the odds. In Vegas,
plus, yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
I don't want to. You know, it's
big
like
swing.
I can't.
You don't want to,
like,
move the money.
Like,
I get it. I get it. You don't
like
want to move the
Street
money.
Where I can't make,
totally.
You know, I can't make comments
totally.
Within a certain period of time. I get it.
I get it.
You know, you understand.
G.
Hemp sounds like he's positive about this.
He
so
is.
I'm going to say 32-12 Bears win.
32-12, interesting number, Dave.
Pretty close to mine, 31-10.
I think we're going to see a sloppy.
Were you copying off G? Is that what you were doing?
I think we're going to see.
No, it's not copying.
He gets all his sports intel from me. Clearly,
Hamp. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be unprofessional. It's going to be what we've seen all year. But the Bears will win 16-10.
Nah, I'll just tell you this: the heat is on. Not only the quarterback, but now the coach and the general manager. I think somehow the team responds in a big fashion. 30-10, Bears win.
Wow.
Then we'll find out what happens in Detroit.
Talk to you Monday. Thank you, Hamp.
Go Bears.
Hamp said 32.
30-10.
I know, but that's awesome.
I said 31.
I said 30-12.
And you thought you were having a rough week. Look at this. Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. The Democrats have wrapped up their Intelligence Committee side of the impeachment inquiry. We'll see where it goes from here. The question is this all about an effort to move forward and take on, quote, what people really care about, like outlawing green bean casserole from sea to shining sea? Please. Dave, let's shut it down.
I'm in.
This might be the only food thing you and I agree on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, news coming up now. Bridget, you hanging out for a little bit with us? I have more things to talk to you about. All right, good. Dean Richards is standing by. Are you back?
Hola, senor.
You're back at Channel 9.
I am. Because why would I want to be in Cabo where it's 80 degrees when I can be here and it's chilly and we're outside doing our annual drive-through food drive, you know, for homeless people? You know, which is fantastic. That's really why I came back. I could have stayed an extra day.
So they wouldn't pay for the extra night in a hotel?
That may be part of it also. But I wanted to come back for the food drive.
Well, it's a nice thing, and Channel 9 does it every year, so good for you guys.
You know what I like? You know, because we actually, you know, people drive up. 2501 West Bradley Place will be outside till 10. We actually unload your cars for you. You stay in your nice warm car. And, you know, pop the trunk and open the locks on the car, and we actually go in your car.
And if you take a set of golf clubs, nobody notices.
Hey, I've got so many ice scrapers. Anyone needs an ice scraper? I got about 15 of them.
Yeah. And golf clubs for the homeless is really something that never caught on. All right. So I don't know how much time we have here. Should we jump right into the movies?
Yeah, if you want to. We've got, you know, kind of the pre-Thanksgiving weekend movies that are opening. The sequel to...
Well, Bridget Gaynor's here, and your daughter was too old for Frozen, the first one, I guess, right? Or was she on the cusp of that?
Oh, my God. We saw more Frozen. I listened to more Frozen soundtrack.
Go,
are you kidding
let
me?
It go.
I mean, it's like...
So you were one of those moms who wanted to murder Idina Menzel.
Elsa.
I thought it was a great show, and I thought I loved the music. I thought it was fantastic.
All right, so Frozen 2.
So
what do we know?
I wish the music was as good as the first movie. I don't think it's quite as impactful. That may be a good thing, that there's not... you know, a song that's the signature song that your kids are going to drive you nuts with this year. But it's a nice story. Elsa hears a mysterious voice coming from this forbidden enchanted forest, which anyone can tell you, you don't go into the forbidden enchanted forest. That's rule number one.
You don't open the closet in the
movie?
Cabin. Come on.
Yeah, anyone knows these things.
Don't go to the basement.
Right.
Not Elsa. She goes into the woods. Convinced that she is going to find whatever it is that has given her these special ice-inducing powers, you know, that she has. So, you know, the story is kind of a search for that. It's a fine story. It's a nice story. It's funnier than I thought it was going to be. So I did like that. But I'll tell you what, you know, and I know, you know, maybe the kids don't appreciate as much, but the look of this movie, the illustrations, the animation are some of the best that I've ever seen.
Really?
So it's just so creative and so colorful and fun. It's not quite the first movie, but it's still plenty of fun. I gave it a Dean's List B.
Coming back with Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood and 21 Bridges. Which is the one with criminals? Is that a Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yes, it is.
All right.
For
it's
somebody.
A whole new twist on Mr. Rogers.
Stand by for that. More with Dean from Channel 9, 813. Bridget Gaynor's here. That's G. That's Dave. I'll introduce the rest of the band later. That's G. That's Bridget Gaynor. This is Dean. All right.
Hey, you know what's going to happen right after the Thanksgiving Day parade that Dave was just talking about?
What?
The annual airing of Bozo Gar and Ray WGN TV classics.
That's fantastic.
Our look
Dean.
Back at some of the most popular children's TV shows in Chicago.
What time would you estimate that will air so I don't miss it?
It's Bozo Circus, it's Ray Rayner, it's Garfield Goose.
When did you do the show?
It's
gonna be 5 years old.
Oh, it's like 12 or 13
is it that
years
long?
Old. Yeah.
Okay. Award-winning.
Kills in the ratings every year.
People, yeah, of course it does.
People love it. Right after the parade at 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving.
11 o'clock on Thanksgiving. What's and it called again?
Bozo Garn Ray, WGN TV Classics.
And much like, remember, Dave, the old VH1 Behind the Music thing?
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part about Bozo Garn Ray is when the music changes and Dean goes, "When we come back, Bozo, the alcoholic years." Remember that, Dean? Remember? Remember
that?
All right, now our friend Bridget.
We do have some good footage we've never put on the air of cigarettes falling out of one of the clown's costumes.
Our friend Bridget Gaynor here has a problem, and I encouraged her to talk about it so she could air it.
Yes.
She's not the only one that feels this way. We know the truth. She knows the truth, but you are, and you don't feel good about saying this, but you're creeped out by who?
Oh, kind of by Mr. Rogers.
So there are people.
Look, I'm with you. I am not the only one who thinks this, and I'm just going to say.
What creeps you out about him exactly?
I don't know. The soft talking, the slow movements, the cardigan sweater, the changing of the shoes.
So everything then.
Like a lot of it. A lot of it.
And I've encouraged her to watch the documentary because I think that is what.
It explains a lot.
Nope. Changes it over. But you're not the only one. I hear this from people all the time.
But this new movie, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, that opens today, isn't
Is it enough to melt Bridget's frozen heart?
It might, because it's not... It's the primary characters in this movie is not Mr. Rogers. It's about this grisly magazine writer, very cynical guy, who is assigned to go interview Mr. Rogers. He reluctantly goes and does it. And his life is changed by the gentleness and generosity and kindness.
Yeah.
So it's like a bromance.
That Mr. Rogers represents. Mm. Yes. It completely changes this guy's life. And it's, you know, a beautiful, it's a true story, number one, but it's a beautiful story. Tom Hanks does an amazing job. He's going to get his sixth Oscar nomination for this, no question about it. But it's just a lovely, it hits all the touchstones if you are a Mr. Rogers fan. It hits all the touchstones. It's extremely nostalgic. But it's just a beautiful story about being kind to people, being generous, being understanding.
Blah, 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 blah. It's the holidays. Do we need to start talking about this already?
You know, here's the thing.
I agree.
I'm kidding.
There's too damn much kindness in this world already.
We're overwhelmed
Have you
with
been
kindness.
Watching these impeachment hearings, nothing but kindness.
Right. Gentleness
I'm sick of it.
To each other, giving
I'm
people the
of
benefit of the doubt. I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm
come on, you. People. All right, what are you giving to Mr. Rogers?
Dean's List A.
It's as high as it gets, kids.
And I wrote the review when I was mad at Tom Hanks, by the way.
Yes, you did.
But yeah. I gave him my Mr. Rogers kindness. I was
Bridget,
mad at
are you
him.
Creeped out by Tom Hanks?
Me?
No, God, no.
Oh, no, Bridget, yeah,
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, you were mad at him?
You will be after you see this movie.
You were mad at him, why? Dean?
Oh, me? Oh, because they said that he would talk to us on the red carpet at his premiere, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. Turned right
you know,
around.
He's married to a Greek, so he was probably like, right. I've had enough today.
I'm going to trade for some baklava right now.
I mean, it could have been like...
Could have been a fight with Rita.
Rita was on the carpet with him, and they were laughing, and they talked to a couple of people,
actors.
And they turned around. But you know what? Compared to Kevin Hart and The Rock, who I talked to yesterday, you know, they pull up in their cars. We're, you know, standing around outside waiting for them. Kevin gets out of the car, comes right to me, gives me a big old hug. Rock, same thing. It's just, you know, like really sweet, nice guys that I don't want to get back in my time. I've decided that I need to exercise the things that Mr. Rogers taught us. Be kind and understanding. Tom Hanks must have had his reasons.
Okay.
Neighbor.
I'm glad you're moving on. That's good.
I am moving. I am. I'm trying. Anyway, Dean's List A for Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Texter says, Dean, the Mr. Rogers movie, any car chases or gunfights? It's all I'll watch.
There are not. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
What about the train that goes around the village? Could it go faster?
You do get the trolley. Okay. You get.
What if the trolley's out of control because the brakes don't work?
Yeah. There's one particularly really sexy scene with Meow Meow Kitty in it.
Okay, I just need to tell you that I'm getting texts from my mom, as I often do when I'm on the show.
Uh-huh.
She's like, by the way, the New York Times had a fabulous article that said Tom Hanks is very nice. FYI.
Oh,
I remember
Now,
that.
You guys had your moment where you
I remember when he was very nice.
It's a whole different time.
You know what? You need to send a letter to the editor to the newspaper to say, like, FYI.
Well, there were like 30 other journalists who came from all over the country to talk, who were told Tom Hanks would talk to you, who did not talk to Tom Hanks. So there are plenty of people who feel the same way.
But you're the only one that had the guts to torpedo your own career. And
I'm the only one who has turned the other cheek, yes. Mr. Rogers style.
All right, what's 21 Bridges?
That wasn't Mr. Rogers, but anyway.
It's a cop movie. It stars Chadwick Boseman, who is the star of Black Panther.
There's 21 Bridges in New York.
Well, oddly, this is set in New York City.
What?
What a coincidence that is. He's a New York City cop. He's thrown into a hunt for some cop killers, but then allegiances begin to get called into question. Who are really the bad guys in this movie? Chadwick Boseman is a really good actor, and I'm glad we get to see him do something besides Marvel superhero movies, because I think he's a fantastic young actor. This story, though, is a little bit predictable. Definitely has some holes in the plot line, but it's okay. I gave it a Dean's List C+.
Favorite Thanksgiving food?
Oh, definitely stuffing.
Stuffing. Do you know the history of stuffing?
I do not.
I have the history of stuffing. You know, you people think there's no preparation involved in this show. Let me tell you something. Stuffing would have been a familiar concept to those early settlers. Their version likely quite different. We know the first Plymouth colonists didn't have access to white flour or butter, so traditional bread stuffing wouldn't have been possible. Yet, they may have used chestnuts, herbs, chunks of onion to flavor the birds. And
Sounds
I'm sure
good.
Some cooks probably threw a little gravel in there.
That was very popular.
Yeah, maybe just
the early Chick-fil-A's, many of the sandwiches had gravel in them.
Yeah, bonus giblets.
But, Dean, you got to weigh in on green bean casserole. Where do you stand?
I do like a good green bean casserole.
There you go.
And don't try to do it fancy on me. I want the Campbell's cream of mushroom soup.
Yes.
No, because I've seen chefs on TV making their gravy from scratch and, they're braising the beans first. You take the frozen green beans.
Yes.
You take the Campbell's cream of mushroom soup. You bake it up, and then you put the canned French fried onions on top of it.
Exactly.
Call it a day, and it's delicious. Really my favorite thing for Thanksgiving day after, you make a sandwich with some turkey,
yes.
Some stuffing, some cranberry sauce, and you could even put some of that green beans with the crunchy on it.
It's like dirty talk with you two.
That's
it's
a delicious
the best thing
sandwich.
About hosting Thanksgiving is
that
leftovers.
Is a delicious yep.
So what happens
right
when
there.
People leave your house and they want to take leftovers? You tell them we're out?
Yeah, sorry. We ate everything.
I was
everything.
Like, oh, you know what? Nora got those. Yeah. She took them. She took everything.
Sorry, you should have ate a little less.
Does everyone use Nora at their house? Oh, Nora took those. How about
She's
that? Nora, what an eater.
But I will say one thing, speaking of Nora. So the parade is Thursday, but Friday, she is actually the master of ceremonies at putting the wreaths on the lions at the Art Institute. So 10 a.m. Friday, we're looking for somebody to kick it off. She's putting the wreaths on the lions, and we'll be doing that. So if you want more Gaynor Girl, you can just show up that Friday.
So Nora's going to be there.
Nora is going to be at the wreaths on the lions. Are you there,
so
Dean?
Definitely give her some grief for stealing all the food. Yeah.
Well, I will. But I was also going to say, if Dean is there, please talk to him on the red carpet, because otherwise it will go badly.
I hold a grudge.
Right. Yeah. You'll be with me next week, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. Have a great weekend.
All right, bud.
All right, there you go. That's Dean Richards. We're coming back with your news in just a moment at 720 WGN.
Tomorrow night,
the Chicago Blackhawks,
the Dallas Stars,
the pregame at 6:30. I'm John Weideman. Troy Murray and I will have the puck drop for you at 7 o'clock.
Chicago!
Hi, my name is Tamara Roberts. My husband and I are proud blood donors because we realize how important it is to give back to families like ours. When our daughter, Mariah, was 3 days old, she was diagnosed with sickle cell disease, a blood disorder that affects predominantly African Americans. This disease can cause terrible pain crises with time, lead to organ damage, and shorten lifespan. Our daughter has received blood transfusions to help ease her pain, but many other sickle cell patients will need blood transfusions weekly in order to live a normal life. It's because of blood donors like you and me, along with the innovative research being done at Versity Blood Research Institute, that Mariah has been given a chance to living a healthy, normal childhood. I challenge you today to donate blood or host a blood drive to help families like ours. To learn more and to make your appointment, visit versity.org. That is VersityTI.org.
Thanks for saving my life.
A beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. A beacon
beacon of hope.
Tree Time is ready to make sure that you have the holiday. You know what I'm talking about? Dave, do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
Okay. Because Jen is here to tell us more. Aren't you,
well,
Jen?
Being at Tree Time in Lake Barrington really gets you in the holiday spirit. Every year, they can't wait to create the magic in our own homes, and it all starts with a trip to Tree Time Christmas Creations. Their showroom is incredible, with over 200 of the most realistic-looking Christmas trees you've ever seen. Finely crafted by top designers, and they last for years, all at factory-direct prices. We're always anxious to see what the new innovations in lighting, plus the latest trends in ornaments and tree trimmings are, to add to our collection, so you can never have too many cool Christmas decorations. Come for a special appearance by WGN Radio and TV's Jane Manzuris, hosting a special Christmas design event with breakfast treats and gifts for all while supplies last. This Saturday, November 23rd, from 8 to 10 a.m., make it a family outing. Tree Time has a man cave for dads and hot chocolate and cookies for the kids. So don't wait. Limited quantities sell out. Stop in now for the best selection. Tree Time on Pepper Road, off Northwest Highway 14 in Lake Barrington, or visit treetime.com.
Only got about 30 seconds here, Bridget, but give me your quick theory on why the Democrats have ended their push for more witnesses in the impeachment inquiry.
Look, I think the last couple witnesses have been really credible, all totally different.
Fiona Hill,
rock solid, totally serious person. Sondland was basically like a guy who was like, hey, guess where this guy's not going? Where Paul Manafort and Roger Stone are.
Exactly.
So you know what? I'm going to sing like a canary. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's anything that could be more believable. They were believable for different reasons, but where do you go after that? And anything else, Giuliani would be a crazy performance, and you know, I think the rest of those guys are going to parse and prevaricate. They've made their case. It goes to the Senate. They're going to do with it what they want, but you know, at some point, you can't go on forever. You've made your point.
Well, the judiciary will get their crack, but that's not expected to last long. Then they'll kick it to the Senate, right. And the Senate should get it in January.
Exactly.
And he will be one of the presidents in history, regardless of what happens from here, who's been impeached.
Or censured. One of those two things. That's an option for the Senate as well.
Censure is like sending a four-year-old to his room. I mean, it means nothing.
Well, there's only been one other president in history, Andrew Johnson, who also goes down in the pantheon of greatness. So. There we go. We got that.
Bridget, before you run off here and actually go to your real job, there is news this morning about the timeout rooms. The Illinois State Board of Education has said they are looking at them in totality and have taken emergency action to halt the use of those until they have a report back.
Mm-hmm.
These are the rooms that kind of blew up in a news story earlier this week, late last week, where kids who are deemed to be the original concept, kids who are deemed to be a danger to the teachers or other students, would be placed in these isolation rooms. The State Board of Ed now says the practice has been misused and overused. You know anything about this? I had not heard about this.
I mean, look, the idea that you, if you're having a problem with a kid, that you can put them off somewhere else where it's not your problem anymore, you know, of course you can see that going down the wrong way.
I can see why you need to isolate the child if they're a problem, but needs to be an adult in the room.
If someone's a danger, they shouldn't be alone if they're a child.
Bingo.
So they have to be treated or they have to be punished, or they have to be. I mean, what, something has to happen.
I didn't know this went on. I mean, I knew this went on in cases of behavior challenge kids who were acting out, kids who suffer from autism, things like that, to put them in a, you know, safe room of sorts. But I didn't know these were part of regular school rooms or schools. And I don't know if they're in every school, but
yeah, I think they've now decided that they're not going to ban the use of timeout rooms, but they would end isolation, and a trained adult should be in the room.
Right, what we're just talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can't just lock a kid in a room. And you know, you can't...
Unless, of course, you've given birth to them, and then you can.
I'll leave you with this. Elon Musk had a rough day yesterday, but you're a billionaire. Maybe you don't have rough days. He introduced the first Tesla electric truck that looks like a geometric triangle on wheels. It's very bizarre.
Looks very from the future.
One of the things it has is armored glass that is alleged to be strong enough to stop sledgehammers and bullets. Now, call me crazy. I don't get hit with a lot of sledgehammers or bullets while I'm driving. The problem was the side of the car held up the sledgehammers, but he had some helper on stage who threw a rock at the window. The bulletproof window shattered live on stage.
hilarious.
But he didn't say it's protected from rocks. It was, you know.
You think bullets should, yeah, well, you never know. Could be one of those.
Did I say rocks? No, I did not say rocks.
I believe what he said is we can fix this in post. But yeah, so if you're planning on going out and getting the oddly shaped truck, I might advise against it. But Dave, you know what it looked like? It looked like the different version. Remember the Ranchero?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Did you ever see a Ranchero? Ranchero is like a station wagon hollowed out in the back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On wheels with, like, you know, the Brady Bunch paneling on the side.
But wasn't that? I thought that was like a El Camino.
You thought it was what?
An El Camino. Isn't that what they call the...
It's a hybrid car truck.
Yeah, another Ranchero. The Ranchero, the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, the Ranchero. Or the
it
Volkswagen.
Sounds like a Dorito chip.
Yeah, well, there you go. This also sort of looks like the Volkswagen Thing. If you remember the Volkswagen Thing. Volkswagen Thing, limited edition Volkswagen from the 70s.
I can't remember what that looked like.
It was like spare parts that they slapped together to make a car, and they sold a bunch of them. So, anyway, happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
I am thankful for you.
I am thankful for you and to be here. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was fun. And hugs to your family.
I will. Thank you very much.
Say goodbye to G.
Bye, G. Bye, Dave.
Bye, Bridget. Bridget. Happy Thanksgiving.
That sounded kind of foreboding, didn't it?
I know. It really did. What's happening to me? Am I going
mob,
into the isolation
it's not a
room?
Mob hit on you.
I don't know.
I hope it all goes well for you, G.
So,
wow.
Right now, welcome in studio from a fine location right there in East Ontario, the Hotel EMC2. Many of you drive by it all the time. You go, that's kind of cool. I got to go in there at some point. Well, when you go in there soon, there'll be robots to greet you. Of sorts. Let's find out more from Stephanie Rowe, Director of Sales. And Mark, is it Sugar, Mark?
Sugar.
Sugar. Pull that microphone right in front of you, Mark, if you don't mind. Mark Sugar is the General Manager. How are you, sir?
Fantastic.
I heard you have robots at the hotel now. Steph, is that true?
That is very true.
All right. What do the robots do? Do turn down service? What are they doing in the hotel?
Well, these cute little robots are room service attendants. They're named Leo and Cleo. And they actually can bring any type of special amenity that you might have forgotten on your travels, like a toothbrush, toothpaste, but they also have the opportunity to be able to service room service. So we can do milk and cookies, we can do some what we call our bot shots, which are some serves four and have some adult beverages. So it's a lot of fun that people are able to experience.
All right, so what happens, Mark, when they come to the room? I order milk and cookies. What happens?
Sure. Well, they come exclusively on their own. They know exactly where they're going.
How do they know what floor I'm on, Mark?
Oh, well, it's programmed right to them.
They I got it. Okay. Exactly
where they're going, where you're at.
Right. I want my cookies.
Maybe spooky there. They know exactly where you're at.
So they come to the door.
They come to the door, and the doorbell rings through the television in your room.
Wow.
And then, how do you know that they're here?
So do they know how to get in and out of the elevators? And they... Really?
They do, yes.
And what if a person walking in the hallway tries to distract them by asking them questions?
So, yeah, like G would go, hey, are those my cookies?
Right. They know how to stay on task, and they...
They actually do know how to stay on task, and they're able to be able to sense when there's people around as
well.
Yes. You know, if they have people that are too close, they definitely will stop. And they will try to be able to re-navigate, because I have stepped into the way of a robot before, or getting in and out of an elevator, and there's not little cookies.
But when you go to a hotel, how many times have you gone to a hotel and you checked in, you had to run out right away, you come back, you have no idea where your room is, right? And you don't have the number on a key card or whatever. How do these robots know what room they're going to? I mean, I know it's programmed, but are there sensors in the doors that match where the something that would tell
them? Well, the interesting part, too, is when the hotel first opened, these robots were actually mapped to each one of the guest rooms. Mm. So they were stationed, well, I guess before we opened, they were actually stationed in the basement, and we didn't realize how popular they were going to be. And so then we relocated them to the front office, the front lobby area, because they wanted to be meet and greeted. And so they were mapped from the front office, the front lobby, to each one of our 195 guest rooms forward and back, so that way they could have them be programmed without a problem.
What's the speed? How long is it going to take?
100 miles an hour.
For my cookies to get to me.
Really? Only about 4 minutes? 4 or 5
They're
minutes?
They're faster than Steve! Steve moseys!
I do mosey. Yeah, I actually auditioned for a robot. They said, no, I'm sorry, you're not quick enough. But that's the whole point, Mark, of the hotel. Science, right?
Absolutely. Well, art and science, and really our individuals, everybody's curiosity and exploration about what what we're all about.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody's going to lead the way with robots in hotels, it better be you guys.
Absolutely.
We hope so.
All right, so these two are doing so well. What happens now? Do you have to expand? More bots?
No, I think they really...
You're good for now.
Yeah,
it's a great question, and we really feel that it's the right number for our hotel. About half of our guests get something delivered from the robot out of necessity or out of interest.
Do I have to tip the robot once they deliver my item?
You don't actually have to tip the robots. However, they do get tipped quite frequently. We've even had a couple of our younger guests, you know, right around the ages between 5 and 10, and they have written letters as well as drawn pictures for Leo and Cleo and then put them into Leo and Cleo.
Yeah, what if you want a picture, a selfie? Does a robot leave immediately after? How does a robot know when to leave?
Oh, great question.
The last thing you want is this social awkwardness where the robot won't leave your room. Yeah.
Great question. The robot actually asks you if everything's all right and if it's voice cues.
It can leave.
No, it's the touch screen.
Oh, a touch screen.
And a prompt. Yeah, and you actually get to rate the robots, Leo and Cleo, from a star category. So
phone coming
most of the time
on,
they
talking
get,
to you
know, 4 stars. And then they do a little dance and a little shimmy to say thank you, and then turn right back around.
Now, I can see these robots being very highly desirable. As you know, hotels have a problem when people want to take the robes and the towels sometimes.
Are you talking about stealing C-3PO?
No, I'm just they're popular. You kind of keep an eye on the robots, right? People get intrigued.
They're trained in jiu-jitsu, right? You couldn't possibly try to remove them?
They're pretty heavy.
Yeah.
I don't think that could
However,
happen.
We do have robot plushes that people can take with them, purchase and take with them.
Perfect.
And that's something they can play with every day.
Yeah, because you bring a great point, though. The kids must love this.
They definitely get a kick out of it. I mean, it's unbelievable that I've seen so many kids run up and want to be able to talk with them or take pictures with them. So it's been a lot of fun since we've opened.
There's always that weirdness, Gee, as you know, when you stay in a hotel, you order room mm-hmm. service, and mm-hmm. you always feel a little funny about taking your tray and then putting it on the floor outside the room. It's everything your mother ever has told you never to do. Mm-hmm. So do they come back to collect whatever they need to collect, or is that still the same old room service rules?
Still same service.
So somebody comes
still,
by.
Yes,
some of the people come by and pick that stuff up.
Yes.
How many runs do these robots make in a typical day?
Oh, dozens.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. As I said, half the guests in the hotel take the opportunity to get something delivered. And so at a 200-room hotel, 195-room hotel, keeps them quite busy.
Yeah, and it's not like they have to work an 8-hour day.
Exactly.
Available all the time.
Absolutely.
Where's this going, robots in the hotel industry? Where does it go from here?
Well, we talk about that. It certainly doesn't replace human connection mm-hmm. with people, and people ask that all the time. What else can robots do? We want it to be a great amenity, a great feature, fits in with who we are. We don't see it going, you know, you're not going to get checked in by a robot. You're not going to get your room cleaned by a robot. You're not going to get your food served by a robot. Because hotels are a hospitality and people connect business.
Yeah, you need a human-to-human interaction, but there are some things that robots can do where you don't necessarily need a person standing there to do it.
I think there is some truth to that. You know, there are guests, this is very much a part of the guest experience. This is one of a kind that most of these hotels don't have. But as far as, you know, being able to be efficient, you know, we've even had our housekeeping attendants, you know, if they need potentially more towels to be able to service a room or possibly more soap, they can ask Leo and Cleo just to be able to bring some of those amenities back up to the floor that they're servicing, just to be able to be more efficient so that way we can provide better service.
So they're programmed for a number of different services by way of the touchscreen.
Yes.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty good employee. Can you imagine if you had an employee who could do all those things?
Well, we have a pretty great staff.
I'm sure you do. All right. So if we want to meet Leo and Cleo, how do you book a room at EMC2?
Well, that's easy. All you need to be able to do is go to hotelemc2.com. You can make all reservations there, and it'll connect you right to the Marriott website because we are also a part of the Autograph Collection.
Yeah. Mark, it's a cool concept. Are there others popping up around the country?
Hotel EMC 2?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, this is a one of a kind.
That's what I thought, but I didn't know if you guys were expanding it or not.
We have new ideas in motion, but not as a Hotel EMC 2.
Well, as a lifetime hotel guy, you must be loving it. This is a cool gig.
Oh, best place we could be.
Yeah, and again, right there on Ontario. Nice to see two of you, the both of you. Which one, again, is the names again? Because these are the real robots. They come in here, they pretend they're human beings, but these are the robots. It's nice to meet both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming over.
It's Leo and Cleo, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mark's Leo. Yeah. So the robots idea, I mean, it's coming everywhere, obviously. Mm-hmm. Where else could robots work in a sports world, Dave? Could we replace you at some point with a robot?
How about, no, well.
What about Ted?
The obvious one is umpires.
Oh, right? That's right.
Umpires, maybe referees, maybe officials.
Umpires makes total sense.
I mean, isn't that already happening with how many replays we have to watch? I mean, it's not a robot, but it's
Can you see an umpire standing, the robot umpire standing behind the catcher?
I think it's coming in some form to officiating in sports.
I'm surprised they haven't tried that in the minors already, where they do all the experimenting.
But I like the different styles that umpires use when they're...
You can program that.
Oh, nice.
You can have that.
Nice that two old guys are trying to convince you of
and
robots.
How about caddies?
Caddies for robots?
Robots for caddies.
Yeah. Caddies for robots,
definitely.
Robots for caddies.
Because that's tiring, carrying around someone's golf clubs.
Yeah.
I've never understood that.
It is 9:10. It's a pleasure to say hello to my friend Jake Johansson.
It's a pleasure to be said hello to.
We only do this. We've been friends forever. We only see each other once a year.
It's sort of ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean,
we see each other.
I would be ready to step it up to twice a year.
You want to take it up to the next level?
Yeah. I mean, if you want.
You're in town working where?
At Zanies.
Which
Zanies.
One?
Well, I'm not all the Zanies. There's some Zanies that I'm not even aware of.
There's 13 of them. Yeah,
last night I was on Well Street, and then tonight I'm going to be on Well Street. They call that the downtown Zanies.
It's the original room.
Yeah, the original
Zanies. Every great comic like you that's ever done anything in comedy, they've all played there.
They've all been in there. There's a picture, right as you come in the front door, there's a picture of me. It's right next to the picture of Kevin Hart.
There you go.
Who I think yesterday was doing promotion for that movie that he just did.
Right.
But I was at Zany's. We're on movie tonight again. And then,
are you talking about the movies where he gets $25 million to be in those movies?
I think. I'm not positive what he gets, but it's more.
Now, just some people don't get confused. You're the taller white guy.
Yes, who gets paid a fraction of what he gets paid
and
for
those
movies.
And you are not in Jumanji.
No, not as far as I know, but I could. One of those people could be my avatar.
Well,
I saw the first one. I didn't
saw Jumanji, as you said.
I saw the first one. Okay. I haven't seen the second one. Yeah.
And then you're going to be in Rosemont?
And then I'm going to be in Rosemont. And it's just going to be me, not my avatar. I'm not sending my avatar. No. Or Kevin Hart.
No.
He's not going to be there.
Like,
as far as I know, he may show up. It's open to the public. Let's just say that. And I don't know where he is right now.
You may be interested in this. People have asked Steve, and I say what? They say, Steve, when are you going to write the book about you? And I have the title. And the title is How I Scratched and Clawed My Way to the Middle and Stayed There. You know, I just think that's really where I'm at. And
was it a tough climb to the middle?
Yeah, it really was.
How close to the middle were you born?
No. Bottom. Dead bottom.
You
bottom
were born
floor.
At the bottom.
Bottom floor. Uh-huh. And I got to the middle probably in the 90s, and I could have taken that rocket ride to the top.
Uh-huh.
And I said, next thing you know, it's 2019, and you and I are hanging out again.
It's nice in the middle, I think.
It's okay.
It's nice.
Because here's what happened. You can still get a table. It's not a great table, but you can still get a table.
You can see the really good table from your table.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You got a view of the good table.
Right.
A lot of people can't even get in.
You get tickets to stuff. They're not free. They're discounted.
Yeah, well, every once in a while you get a free one, and then you can trade that for cash.
Right. So in the middle, it's okay.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, in life, it's all about happiness. It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily about money. You can't.
It'd be nice to have all the money, though.
All the money?
Yeah.
That would be a big responsibility. Everybody would be asking you for money.
And look at the mess Jeff Bezos
is. That would be a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Just a good chunk of money.
We're going to think about the money. Right after this, we'll come back, and then Jake and I will continue to solve the world's problems. You want to get tickets to Jake? Listen, here's what you do. You go to Zanies.com.
Right.
Zanies.com. They're all there.
Click on tickets.
Right. And what's
your
website?
Before you know it, JakeThis.com.
You go to JakeThis.com.
I think there's a link to get to Zanies from my website, too, if you really want to go backwards. Or you can just go to Google, type in.
You want to add a third step?
If you want to.
Or if you want to go to AOL and then go to Google and then go to Jake this, and then go to Zany's.
Don't you need a time machine to go to AOL?
Actually, you can still get there directly. Yeah.
I guess still on the internet. Lately.
Jake Johansson's here. Happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays to you. I didn't even understand your dystopian interpretation of the world.
It wasn't my interpretation. It was an author who came in here and talked about that.
So yeah.
We're talking about a theory that's cockamamie and sideways. So Thanksgiving is coming up. And of course,
I'm going to cook a turkey. I was going to make a turkey, but I'm not going to make a turkey.
Might be a lot.
Yeah, I'm going to go to the store and buy one.
Do you have a special cooking turkey recipe?
You know, I just, old school, you put the oven on a certain temperature.
And wait for it to heat up?
I don't put the stuffing inside the turkey because things can go wrong. G was a little worried about
a lot
food
of food safety issues around turkey.
You really got to wash the turkey off. You should
never wash the turkey off. They say that's the number one thing people do wrong.
Isn't that chicken?
I think
that's turkey too.
Oh, well,
I think
maybe.
It's chicken. If
okay,
you
never mind.
Chicken.
You can wash the turkey.
I always wash the turkey. I wash the chicken
it
too.
It is the chicken.
I feel like Look, you just have to be careful where you get the chicken drippings when you wash it.
But
out
I think
of
when you wash a turkey, and I
take it right in the shower.
That's
with
the thing.
Yeah.
And that's the thing that threw me off. That you're in the shower holding the raw turkey.
Yeah, it's the only way to really get it clean.
You remember the first time I saw that, it was kind of an awkward conversation.
Yeah,
I said, how about I wait outside?
Well, you said, do you mind if I come over early? And I said, no, but I didn't know you were going to have that reaction.
That early?
Yeah.
That's too early. Man, was that early.
This is too early.
All right, so you cook.
I cook,
the whole
meal,
the sides, everything?
I make the turkey, I make the stuffing, and I make the cranberry sauce. And this year, and sometimes I'll make spinach madeleine, but someone else is going to make that this year. It comes with a nice Ritz cracker crust on top.
And are these traditional Iowa recipes from your boyhood in Iowa?
No. Well, turkey and stuffing, I mean, that's from everybody's childhood.
I suppose.
I mean, not everybody.
Cranberry sauce. Do you do both the cranberry sauce out of the can and then your own fancy cranberry sauce? Like, give two options?
I buy the actual bag of cranberries, and then you boil them till they kind of pop and go gooey, and you put some sugar in there.
Look at you.
So like a cranberry relish.
And it solidifies up a little bit.
Oh, look at you.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Wow.
Look at you.
That's pretty good.
Where'd you learn this cooking?
Well, that recipe is on the bag. So I learned that from the bag.
So you learned that from reading.
Yeah, from reading. Yeah. From reading. There's also, I think the turkey now comes with a pamphlet.
It does?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, and here's a pro tip. Inside the turkey is a plastic bag full of some of the things that are inside the turkey. Some of the stuff they throw away.
Uh-huh.
But there's a
toy, a surprise in there.
It's a plastic bag. So what I'm saying is you don't want to you got to take that bag out.
It's got to come out.
And then if you want to eat the neck and the liver.
How do you get it out of there? Is it a little C4? Put a little C4 in there?
No, you don't need it. It's a pretty big opening. But there's a flap. It's like the Batcave. There's a little bit of a flap. So when you go inside the turkey, you got to lift the flap. You're looking for a bag to get that out.
But the thing I found in
the past... Well, you're going to find all this stuff. If you do a thorough washing of the turkey, you're going to find
this
stuff.
In the shower.
Yeah, in the shower.
But here's the thing I found out in the past. The turkey is never completely thawed out. So when you go inside, the last thing to thaw out is your little plastic bag, friend. You got to get in there. You got to wrestle that boy. You got to get in there and really got to crank back and
sometimes it's in there a little tight. Yeah.
So you don't need turkey tools to get it out of there?
I've never had to do that.
You never needed the turkey tools?
No.
I'm so freaked out right now from this conversation.
Have you ever eaten turkey at Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Yeah, well, see, this all happened before you got there. Someone else did this.
Right.
So
right.
Who do you trust? Yourself? Or some neighbor of yours.
Do you do the carving?
Well, yeah, I suppose.
Because to me, that's the reward. The reward is the carving. The turkey's done. So if you've done the cooking, you ought to be able to do the carving if you choose.
Well, the way we do it, and I thank you for asking, and you can see why this show's at the top.
And you can also see why we have such great rhythm because of the rehearsal we do to make sure all of these topics will be hit.
The turkey carving
the turkey?
The turkey. The turkey. I always name the turkey, and sometimes it's Kirky. Kirky the turkey.
Who am I to judge?
Yeah. Right. So when you carve the turkey, it's not as exciting as a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that first slice in, I don't know, it's honorary or ceremonial or whatever. But
it's like cutting the ribbon at a new store.
We usually Kirky the turkey over by the stove and then put it on the platter and then bring it to the table. So the only witnesses really to the turkey carving
are... I feel like you're going a little fast for people to write this down.
Yeah, I know. Sorry.
So you slice platter and then bring it over. Mm-hmm.
I put apples and onions inside the turkey just to give it some juicy flavor. But then we don't eat those apples and onions. They're just in there for juicy flavor.
Do you use an electric slicer?
No.
I use an actual traditional knife.
Now, the thing is, I feel like that was a legitimate question, but the way you laughed at it makes me think that you think this whole conversation is absurd, and that hurts.
Two grown comedian men talking about turkeys, and yet you find it silly. I don't get it. I don't. Jake Johansson's here. Jake's going to be at Zany's, Dave. Write this down. He's going to be at Zany's on Wells tonight.
Tonight?
Traditional Wells. Friday. Was that two shows?
Two shows tonight, yeah. And there, I don't know if we're going to have time for a Q&A.
But that, you do like to break down with the audience.
But there's a little meet and greet after. So if you have any turkey questions, I can ask those. You can ask those.
And then two in Rosemont tomorrow night.
Yes.
All right. And yes. Tickets at zanies.com. How's your lovely family?
Well, they're great. My wife, she's started her own YouTube channel. She does these environmental videos.
Why are you laughing?
Well, because I don't know. Because everybody's starting their own YouTube channel.
Oh, okay.
I fell off the... I was on a thing where I was going to start making episodes of a YouTube show for myself. I wanted to have my own show.
Sure.
And I thought, what's stopping me? I can just have my own show on YouTube.
It's the world we live in.
So
you can invent it.
I made a couple of episodes, and then I just got tired. I was like, oh, God, this having your own show. All day. Well, you know. Well, you got to get up every day for this thing, don't you?
Here's the thing. You got to do it, and then you got to come back and do it again.
And people come in here. They try and help you, but a lot of times, like how many times have you had this turkey
conversation? Hey, are you talking about me?
No.
No, as far as you know, we're not. So what is your wife's, how would we find it? People listening now would like to know where it is. How do we find it?
You're right. This is a good time for me to promote her. I'm here in Chicago doing my shows at Zany's. I've got my own YouTube channel, Jake Johansson, and you can listen to my podcast, Jake This, but let's talk about my wife, Belinda Weymouth. You can look at her on YouTube.
Oh, and she's beautiful.
She is beautiful, yeah. And she does these positive eco news videos, so that's what she's
doing.
Well,
that's a nice thing to do.
She's changing the planet.
All right, and how's your daughter?
She's great. She doesn't have a YouTube show.
How old is she now?
Well, she's 15.
How about that?
So she's almost ready.
She's on 16 is the age of YouTube channel.
I told her I was going to sign up for TikTok and I made a video when she was there for TikTok. She freaked out.
How mortified was she?
She freaked out so hard, my wife made me turn the app off.
Right?
And
right.
I haven't gone back in.
Because she was going to run away.
Yeah, she was going to run away. She thinks just like, you're too old. You can't be
too old,
making
you're
videos
creepy,
on TikTok.
And you can't do a TikTok video.
I can, though. We all can.
You know, the old people took over Facebook. Why can't we take over TikTok?
Did we take over? I had a friend the other day said to me, hey, do me a favor and friend me on Facebook. This is a guy I went to high school with.
Right.
And I said, look, I'm not friends with anyone on Facebook. I only go on Facebook to promote my shows.
Right.
If you want to be my friend or whatever on Twitter, we can connect on that. But I don't really like Twitter either because it's super angry.
It is angry. But did you say to the person, if you'd like to be my friend, maybe call me occasionally, send me a card?
Yeah, well, I did point that out to him. It's like, you have my phone number. You know, you can text me. You left me a message on a place that I literally never check for messages. I don't even know. I clicked on something by accident, and I saw that he had left me a message.
Why do you think Twitter's so angry?
Why?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's set up. There's all this stuff behind the scenes that we don't know about that's fueling these social media apps, but they don't show you all the things. You can click on things that you want them to show you, and then Twitter doesn't show you all. Or none of them show you the thing that you say you... You could subscribe to me on Instagram, but you don't get to see all my Instagram posts because they decide that they want to show you something else. And it's never cats. It's never there's not enough kittens. I feel like there needs to be a slider and go, hey, less impeachment, more kittens. That's where I'm at.
See, my problem is with my ADD, squirrel, I go down that rabbit hole where what you're talking about is I'll go to something and there's a link at the bottom for another article. And then I go to something else. And then that article leads me to a third thing. 12 hours later, I got to pee.
You're under arrest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The FBI shows up at your house.
And I have no idea what the original search was.
No. I have that same. It's a rabbit hole. You go down the rabbit hole.
So. All right. Here's what we're going to do, whether you have time or not.
Okay.
We're
let's bring formulate
you back.
A plan.
We're going to bring you back after the bottom of the hour to promote the show again.
Is it already the bottom of the hour?
Yeah. We got to check on.
Oh, my goodness.
Time
goes by so
when
fast
you're having
in
fun
here.
On the Steve Cochran Show. We got to check on your wife's YouTube channel, get her a little more promotion, and then we'll come back.
Okay, terrific. I'm going to see if that Ferris wheel moves. It doesn't look like it's even turned on.
Jake is looking at the painting of Navy Pier that we have. My friend Jake Johansson's here. You'll never see anybody funnier on stage. I promise you that. You need to go see him this weekend. Tonight on Wells at Zany's, and this weekend at Zany's in Rosemont, zanies.com for either. And I think I've got actual phone numbers you can call here. Wouldn't that be crazy? Whoops, hold on. Let me get that on for you. Say again?
Who calls people on the phone?
Yeah. You know, it's more than just a texting machine.
I know, but you can go on the internet. You can go on the internet on your phone and then click on things and buy tickets with your credit card that's already saved in your phone. You don't have to.
You know, I'm a grandfather now.
Yeah,
none of this
you're
going to
love it. You're
going to
love it. Call up Zany's on the phone. Do you have the phone number?
Yeah, I've got a new cell phone plan I just picked up. It's called 22 Skidoo. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Uh huh. And what?
My phone service
is $22. Is it $22? All you can eat?
Rosemont tickets at 847-813-0484 on Wells 312-337-4027. And I know you didn't have time to write either one of those down. So why don't you do it, Jackson? Go to zanies.com.
Yeah, you can rewind it. Rewind this.
Chicago's a great town for you.
It's my kind of town.
But it's always been a great town for you.
Yes, I've loved it here.
So, but you get great crowds here. People love you here.
I recorded a special here for HBO in 1989.
Right.
That you can watch if you have HBO the internet you can watch it on the internet. It's still on there. You can
see
the
young number
me.
For that. I call
you can
HBO.
Watch it on your phone. All of this is available on your phone. Everything you can do. I don't even know why you go out. Why get in the car
when you come? I mean, you and I have had dinner out here, but when you come to town, what's the place you look forward to go and eating? You got a place?
There was a place that I used to like. They closed some of the places that I used to like to go. That's one of the sad things about getting older. But I went to Lou Malnati.
Oh, Lou Malnati's.
Yeah. It's yeah.
That's because you don't have good pizza in Northern California?
Oh, God. Everybody is so. There's not bad pizza. This is. I mean,
wake
up,
everyone.
Are you
saying any pizza is good pizza?
It's all good pizza. It's like orgasms. Like, they're all pretty good.
So the second part of your argument is stronger than the first.
Yeah, no. Well, that's how you do it. That's how arguments work.
Right. So the pizza that you love is the Lou's. The deep dish or the thin?
Well, it's close to where I'm staying, so that's
where
I
went. No, it's great pizza. I'm not lying. It's great pizza.
Yeah, I went for the deep dish.
You like the deep dish?
I'm trying to help Lou and my wife out a little bit, if I can.
Right. See, because what I like is the thin.
Do you?
Yeah, I like the thin pizza.
That flies in the face of everything everyone knows about Chicago. The idea that you would live here and eat the thin crust pizza, it's absurd.
You're saying when I have access to the thick, deep dish, full-bodied man pizza, why would I eat the little foofy girl
pizza?
You
can't get the deep dish pizza other place. This is the thing. Chicago has invented their own kind of pizza so that they can say it's better than the other pizza because no other place makes that kind of pizza.
It's
literally like a pie. It's a thick, saucy, cheesy pie.
Right. And the challenge is eat two slices and walk yourself to the car. Yeah, I mean it's a lot.
I got the small, which they said serves two people, and I ate the whole thing because it's four slices. It's not really that big,
but they're tiny slices.
It's like, well, tiny to who?
So you love the Lou Malnati's?
Yeah. Oh, I did.
Are you still clubbing in town? You go out dancing after a show?
After the show. Well, a lot of times I've got a portable disco ball that I hang up in the room. If you can get it in the bathroom where the mirror is, it can really get great. And you can wear whatever you want. I got a whole spandex unitard that I put on. When I get in the hotel bathroom.
So it's good times.
I cover myself with conditioner. It's really good for my skin, too.
I just
dance until I'm exhausted. Sometimes I'll fall asleep on the bathroom floor.
All right. And why wouldn't you after a night like that?
Yeah.
Who's working with you in Zany's? Anybody we know?
Oh, gosh. Now you really got me. Well, Bert's son, Stephen.
Oh, he's very
Stephen
funny.
Stephen Haas is there.
Stephen
Haas
is very funny.
Except I don't think he's there tonight. They rotate the crew in there.
Well, if you get a chance to see Stephen Haas at his house or something, go over there.
And then this this young guy, well, I say he's young. He's 31. He says
young to us.
That's young.
Yeah.
Nate, he's from here. I can't remember his last name.
Nate,
the guy from Chicago. And his act is really unique. I mean, I think he confessed to three crimes in his show.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's funny, too.
Minor crimes. They're not major crimes. But he cracked me up. And I have to say, you know, truth be told, the audience, I think, found him a little bit confusing, which was even more entertaining to me. Even more entertaining
to me.
Well,
that's great. All right.
Yeah,
tonight on Wells, Rosemont tomorrow night. When we come back, you're going to give us your annual holiday shopping tips? Yeah?
Yeah, don't go shopping.
That's not one of the tips.
Okay, yeah. I'm better at Q&A, but I can say I'm not a big shopper. Who needs to shop now? You can go. It's all on your phone. You can shop on your phone.
You got to leave your house, man.
I'm doing that on my phone now.
I'm concerned about you now. You're not leaving your house for any reason.
They bring things to my house. I'm trying to work out a deal where I get just brought right to people's houses.
Well, what if the crowd is just brought to your
house? Maybe that's what I want to do, is house shows. I'll come to your house and I'll do a show. You get about 150 of your friends, and I just show up at your house.
You're like a comedy Tupperware party.
I don't see how it could possibly go wrong.
No.
Do you?
No way. It's fine. It's 9:44. Quick weather. We come back and we'll do more with Jake. Stand by. Dave, do you know about the two giant bobbleheads of Gale Sayers and Butkus?
Butkus, yeah.
At the Thompson Center?
Yeah, they've been doing this, I think they've been doing it before home games. There was a giant Sid Luckman and a Walter Payton, but yeah.
So those attending the game Sunday can get smaller versions. Bobbleheads going to be handed out the first 20,000. But gigantic bobbleheads of Gale Sayers and Butkus still at the Thompson Center in the Loop. And again, I feel like, you know, Jake was talking about opportunities and how do you maximize things. Mm-hmm. With the size of my head, I feel like I'm missing an opportunity.
You got to have merch. And a bobblehead of you full of candy. Oh, my God.
Right now.
Yeah, that's Christmas and Halloween wrapped into one.
What do you call it, like a Steve Yada instead of a pinata? Yeah, let the kids smack me in the head.
I'm with you, Steve Yada. Yeah.
So, talking with Jake Johansson, what do you do for Christmas? Do you go home?
This
is the family still in Iowa?
No. I don't like to say where my family is.
are they in a witness protection program?
My family lives in my house with me. That's where I'm at with family right now.
I'm going more of the second generation.
You're talking
stuff.
About going up the ladder into the tree.
Yeah. Grandparent now.
Yeah, my daughter's grandparents, they live in North Carolina, and they've just moved into assisted living. So you can go visit them and you can spend the day there, but you can't spend the night.
No, but you can gum a lot of food there. I mean, it's easily digestible. You know
well,
I mean?
The place where they are is a little bit nicer. Like the food that they have is like a restaurant almost.
Oh, okay.
It's like you're on it's kind of a terrible cruise where it's all old people. But
well, like you and I,
older than us. But
G's from North Carolina. Maybe she knows him.
Do you know my parents, the Johansons?
I think I do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Scarlett Johansson is a cousin,
she's,
right?
We're not. Scarlett and I are not related, which I really like to make clear to everyone. Because if God forbid anything was ever to happen to my wife, I could marry Scarlett Johansson, and neither one of us would have to change our names. It'd be super easy. They're spelled differently, but I think that's fine.
You wouldn't have to change any of the monograms.
Sometimes
underpants.
People spell my name the way her name is. This is what's hampering me a little bit with the Scarlett Johansson. But
you think it's holding you back?
Hard to say. In the world of blaming other people for my problems, I'd love to be starting to blame Scarlett Johansson for my problems.
So we talked about your Thanksgiving with your friends. What do you do for Christmas?
Christmas, we're going to go. Usually, I make Christmas at home, and we have New Orleans food because I love New Orleans. That's one of my things that I do every year.
My mom's favorite city.
Really?
She lived there for a while. She loves New Orleans.
Oh, it's so great. So this year, my wife's good friend, who is also one of our daughter's godmothers, had moved to New Orleans 2 years ago, and she's lonely, and we're going to go down and visit her. We're going to throw her a bone by going to New Orleans for Christmas.
It's really nice of you to go visit her.
It is. It's going to be great.
Well, I think we can agree. Nothing says a traditional Christmas like New Orleans.
Oh, you ride a gator right down the chimney.
That's what I'm talking about. What do you want for Christmas?
What do I want for Christmas?
Yeah, like if you were to do a list for Santa right now, what do you want?
Oh, my God. I feel like this is the thing. My wife has always wanted to buy presents. I go, look, I bought all the things. It's not that I'm a rich guy, but
you're doing okay. I mean, you need
I'm
a
doing
lung.
Okay,
obviously, you need a lung.
Yeah, I need a lung.
Yeah.
I've got a little extra phlegm if anybody wants that for Christmas.
Yeah.
But mostly, if I want something, I get it, you know, because what do I want? It's a book or some kind of music. I'm on that music
but
thing.
But see, this is why women say we're impossible to buy for, because we never have any
ideas. Oh, impossible to buy for. That's my wife. She's like, at least could you just get something and then put it in a box? I go, why don't you get it? And then I'll be surprised when you open it. So,
go look what I got you.
Yeah, and then it'll be something you like, because it hurts. I said, it hurts my feelings. She goes, it's the thought that you went out and did something. And I go, yeah, but it's not a good feeling for me. I go out.
You go out by demand.
I've been married for 17 years and been with my wife for, you know, a little longer than that. I feel like I know her pretty well. She is my best friend now.
Sure.
So I go out and I buy something that I think that she's going to like based on that. And she immediately wants to exchange it. So I feel terrible. Like, this is the person I've known for 18 years. I can't even buy some small little jewelry
and get
thing.
It right.
Yeah. I kept bringing her back a fleur-de-lis necklace. I brought her back a fleur-de-lis necklace from New Orleans one time. She goes, first of all, you love New Orleans. I'm not. I don't love New Orleans. And then she goes, second of all, it's silver. I only wear gold jewelry. And third of all, you gave me one of these last year.
Oh,
yeah.
That
you
hurt.
Should get
that's an amateur
gifts
mistake.
Related yeah. to the environment, because that's one of her causes. So you should say, I've planted subsidized planting of 300 trees in the Amazon rainforest.
That stuff might work with your friends who can't call BS on it, but
right.
you can't give yourself give your you can't give someone a say I gave you a present by giving someone else some money. That's not
well. The problem, see, the problem is she knows Jake. So if he suddenly gets her a calf from Africa that has decided not to be a calf anymore for the better good of the world, then she would call BS on you, right? You who are you kidding? You wouldn't get me this, right? Is that what you're saying?
She would I'm not say, sure I understand the calling BS, but I just feel like you got me a present by not getting me a present. Just why even bother to buy?
Is it
someone
possible
else
your wife's impossible?
Just buy her.
I think we're both impossible, and that's why we're in love.
Just buy her a new car, like you know the cars with the big bows on them around the holidays, like really fancy.
Well, we only
car.
Have one car, first of all, and oh. second of all, I don't. I think you got a misconception of how successful
wealthy you
financially.
Are.
You know, yeah, that's not a. That's not
you know what you
table.
Need to do? You need to go full Mr. Rogers. Do you know about the Mr. Rogers 143 thing?
No. What do you do?
Mr. Rogers was nuts about his weight. He wanted to weigh 143 pounds all the time. And he weighed himself every day. And
was he a wrestler in high school?
Drink. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. The 1, the 4, and the 3 equate with the letters for I love you. One letter, four letters, three letters.
Uh-huh.
I love you. You could weigh 143 pounds as a present for your wife.
I think Mr. Rogers was misunderstood in his time, but this makes him seem a little like a weirdo against me.
You know, the big movie opens this weekend with yeah. Tom Hanks.
Well, I'd rather watch the documentary about Mr. Rogers.
Which is great. Not
the, I mean, don't get me wrong. Tom Hanks, okay, let's help him out. But I don't need to watch Tom. I've already watched him pretend to be Walt Disney.
So you're done with Tom Hanks?
A little bit. I'm sort wow. of like, come on, Tom.
Has he been a little bit of a show business hog?
I'd like it if he won World War II again for me.
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that would be good.
Or he went to ran across country, that Forrest Gump. Or let's put him on a desert island with a plane
crash and a volleyball.
Yeah, volleyball. That yeah. was I enjoyed that one.
What great wisdom can you leave us with in our final 60 seconds? A little nugget, a little thought, a little something to take home for the holidays.
Well, were you guys talking about robots earlier? Because mm-hmm. I'm a little worried about robots.
You are.
And so I feel like if you're worried about robots, like I'm worried about robots, we need to start building a time machine. And I know that this is a bad scenario, and there's a lot of ways it can go wrong, but we got to start taking things seriously.
You want to go backwards to when?
To when the robots started.
Yeah, but I'm misunderstanding you then. I thought the robots were the scary thing, so you wanted to go back to a simpler time where robots were a fantasy as opposed to a reality.
No, you got
to. You're talking about going back to like 6 weeks ago.
If they make a it's hard to know who you got to go back in time to kill if they invent a time machine.
Right.
Because you could be going back in time to kill the guy who invents the robots, or you could just go back in time to kill the guy who invents the time machine, in which case, let's not invent a time machine.
So I think what you got here is an idea that needs to be worked on.
I feel like I want to. It's really jealousy. I think all of these problems can come down to jealousy. And sure. What I really want is to be an immortal time traveling robot. And so
I think that's a completely reasonable, you know, wish. There's nothing wrong with
it's
that.
It's going to be possible.
Right. And why it's can't your wife get that for you for Christmas?
Why can't she?
Yeah.
It awesome. Starts with an app. It all starts with an app.
Doesn't everything.
I need my own app.
Jake Johansson, tonight on Wells, two shows. Tomorrow night in Rosemont, two shows. Zanies.com. And Jake this. For anything you do, your podcast, your gear, thoughts about the world, and robot stuff.
Yeah, I need a better merch on my... I need a... Look, there's a lot of things I need. I'm upgrading my website. I'm going to get a bobblehead. I'm going
right.
to fill it up with thumb drives.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's going right. to be great.
JakeThis.com?
Yes.
Buddy, I love you. You know that. Great to see you.
I love you, too.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Is this it?
Merry
Are we going to talk at all when we stop talking?
I
they
don't
turn
see
off
it happening. But
I just going to go.
People right now okay. think we're friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Texter says, bring this guy back anytime. Funny dude, that was Jake Johansson. And the most awkward thing I've heard all day. What did you just say?
I just feel like I sat in on a date.
Like Jake and I just got off Tinder. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great call.
Thank you.
And we'll be back
Happy
here Monday.